Satan certainly does. Satan cares a lot about your heart. He cares a lot about the hearts of God's children. He especially cares about the hearts of the young children here this morning and the young people and the young adults. He cares especially about their hearts because he knows that if he can get in there, pollute them, then he has an avenue into the church, and an avenue into the church for a long time. That's what he wants. He wants to pollute the hearts of us, pollute the hearts especially of our children. We must care for our hearts then. Guarding them is so important. As those who know what Christ has done for us, we do not want Satan to get in there, get in our hearts, and pollute them. We don't want that. As those who know what Christ has done for us, we want hearts that are clean, that are focused upon God, so that what flows forth is God-glorifying activity. That's what we want. And that's why guarding our hearts is so important. Proverbs 4 teaches us, God's covenant children, about guarding the heart. Solomon was teaching his covenant son here. Often the book of Proverbs is written as a conversation between Solomon and his covenant child. And that's the way this chapter is especially. Verse 1 already says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." Verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." And in verse 23, Solomon gives this instruction to his son. He says, "Guard your heart. Guard your heart." And since this is instruction to a son, this instruction especially applies to our children tonight. And children, young people, young adults, you've heard about your heart before. You've heard about the importance of your heart. Your inside matters. You've been taught to be aware that the devil is attacking. Your parents, your teachers, your minister teaches you that you have to arm yourself. You have to be ready to fight. Fight against the devil. But tonight, we are reminded of that, and we need to be. We need to be reminded of the importance of guarding our heart. And it's not just the young people and the children who need that. We all do. Every one of us here needs this call. We need to hear it. And may, by the grace of God, the Spirit move us tonight to go forward this week and for the rest of our lives, guarding our hearts. Let's consider this text, Proverbs 4, verse 23, under the theme, guarding your heart. Guarding your heart. First, your heart. Second, guarding it. And third, the possibility. Guarding your heart. First, your heart. Second, guarding it. And third, the possibility. First, the heart. What is your heart? The heart is the inner life. The heart is the inner life from which flows all of your thoughts, all of your desires, and all of your actions. The text here is speaking of the spiritual heart. It is not speaking of a man's physical heart. If verse 23 was speaking of a man's physical heart, then all of the verses that surround verse 23 would be about going on a diet or would be about exercise. But the verses surrounding verse 23 are not about that. Verse 23 is about the spiritual heart, and the verses surrounding it show us that. In verses 24 through 27, Solomon is addressing his son's spiritual life. He speaks of turning from, or of not sinning with your mouth. He speaks of turning away your eyes from sin, of turning your feet from sin. It's all about his son's spiritual life. And thus we also know that verse 23 then is about his son's spiritual heart. From your spiritual heart flows your thoughts, your desires, and all your outward activity. to understand your spiritual heart, you can think about your physical heart. My physical heart and your physical heart is the source of the blood, the source or origin of the blood flow throughout the entirety of your body. From your heart, your physical heart, flows blood to the rest of your body. Now, that's a picture of your spiritual heart. From the spiritual heart flows your thoughts, your desires, and your activity. Just as from your physical heart, the blood flows to the rest of the body, from your spiritual heart flows the activity. Proverbs 4, verse 23 teaches that. Especially the second phrase of that verse. We read there, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And we focus on that phrase right now in this first point, on that second phrase, "Out of the heart are the issues of life." That word "issues of life," or that phrase, it means the springs or the outgoings of life. Out of the heart comes are the outgoings or the activities of your whole life in the world. Out of the heart springs all of those activities. From your heart springs the thoughts, desires, and actions. Now, we are looking then at the heart very broadly here tonight. And I want to make that clear because heart has some different uses in the Scriptures. This text was a text that I struggled with for a long time. Someone, a young person, asked me to preach on it for a confession of faith in Edgerton. But it took me a very long time when I made this sermon to understand the heart. The heart is one of the most complex subjects in all the Scriptures. Sometimes in Scripture, the heart refers specifically to the regenerated heart. Sometimes in Scripture, the heart refers more broadly to your whole inner life. Well, after struggling with this text for some time and talking to different people, studying it, studying the original language, the Spirit led me to see that the heart needs to be viewed broadly here. It needs to be viewed as the whole inner life. And part of the reason that I came to that conclusion is that this is instruction of a father to a child. An instruction that a child can understand, that your children here tonight can understand. And the heart is really simple if we look at it broadly. You have an inner life. That inner life is your heart. From your heart flows all of your thoughts, all of your wants, all of your actions. Your heart is like a control center. It controls all of the activity of your life. That's the heart. Now, from your heart's that spiritual center, from your heart flows activities that are good or bad, pleasing to God or displeasing to God. This text is speaking of the heart of a child of God. Proof for that is found in the fact that Solomon says, by the inspiration of the Spirit, says, "Keep thy heart." Thy heart. He's addressing a specific person here. He's addressing his covenant son. He is not addressing everyone in the world. He is not addressing unbelievers. He's addressing his covenant child. And therefore, this text is about our hearts as children of God. This text is about our hearts who have God living in our hearts. This text is about our hearts and the hearts of our children who have the Spirit living within us. That's what Solomon's son's heart was like. He had God living in him. Now, the heart of a child of God can be a healthy heart or an unhealthy heart, a strong heart or a weak heart. The heart of a child of God, one who has the Spirit in him, his heart is not dead. That's the heart of an unbeliever. That's the heart of a reprobate person. His heart is dead. There's no life of God there. But the heart of a child of God is different. The heart of a child of God has the life of the Spirit. But it can be a healthy, strong heart or a weak, unhealthy heart. And by a healthy heart or a strong heart, I refer to the heart of a child of God who that is focused upon God and serving Him. That one who has that spiritually strong heart, healthy heart, he's focused upon Christ. He knows what Christ has done. And knowing what Christ has done, while his heart still may have sin in it, his heart is focused on God and serving Him. That's the healthy heart. By an unhealthy heart, I refer to the heart of a child of God that is not focused on God and serving Him. He seems to have forgotten what Jesus Christ has done for him. And thus, he's holding on to sin, and sin really has the upper hand within him. He has a weak, unhealthy heart. Now, from the heart of a child of God flows good activity or bad activity. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23 shows that bad activity does flow forth from the heart. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. There we read, Jesus says these words, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." From a spiritually unhealthy heart flows those activities. You can think of it like a spring of water. From a spring of water, from polluted spring of water, flows forth polluted water. Well, from a unhealthy heart flows forth bad activity. A child of God with an unhealthy heart is not focused upon Christ, and so what comes forth from that heart is sinful thoughts, sinful desires, sinful activity. And we know that at times in our lives we have all had hearts like that. Unhealthy hearts, not focused on God, focused on self. Then what flows forth from that unhealthy heart is sin, sinful activity. We've all had that. We all know what that's like. But on the other hand, from a spiritually healthy heart of a child of God flows activities that are pleasing to God. Think of that now, that clean spring of water. From a clean spring of water flows forth pure water. From a pure, healthy, strong heart flows forth good activity, God-glorifying activity, God-glorifying thoughts, desires, and actions. Now, what we do outwardly then is really a window into the condition of the heart. What we do outwardly is a window into the condition of the heart. It really reflects how our heart is doing, if it's healthy or unhealthy. Think of this example. Think of two children. And these two children are young, but they're fighting over the same toy. They both want it, and they're pushing each other out of the way to get it. They want it for themselves. Well, that activity reflects an unhealthy heart. It does not reflect a heart that's strong and focused on God. It reflects a heart that is focused on self, and thus a heart that's weak. But if those two children are sharing that toy, seeking to help one another, that reflects a heart that is strong, that's healthy. It reflects a heart that's focused on God and serving Him and not on self. And young people, the same thing applies to your activity. The activities of lying to parents, of cheating on a test, or lying on your time card, all those activities reflect a weak heart, a heart focused on self. The activities of, however, telling your parents the truth about where you're going and what you're doing, that reflects the condition of a strong, that reflects a strong heart, a heart focused on God. So what you text, what you put on Snapchat, what you like, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those things, even what you're doing there, all of that reflects the condition of your heart. Whether it's a strong, healthy heart focused on God or a weak heart focused on self and things of the world. What is your heart focused on? That's your heart. Your heart's your whole inner life. And from a healthy heart flows good activity. From an unhealthy heart flows bad activity. Now the command comes to us. The main command of the text is this: guard your heart. Guard it so that what flows forth from it is good, God-glorifying activity. King James Version uses the word keep. Verse 23, if you look at it, it says, keep your heart. Keep thy heart. That word keep, it literally means guard or protect. And that's why I keep using the word guard. What does that mean? Protect your heart. To understand that, think of a spring of water. And again, I use this analogy of a spring of water because the word issues in verse 23 means springs or outgoings. So think of a spring of water. In some towns, the source of their water is a spring. What happens is rain falls from the sky. And when that rain hits the soil, it passes through the soil and even through the rock, and it's purified through that process. And it eventually passes out of the earth. And that place where it comes out of the earth is the spring. It's called the spring. Pure water flows out of it. Now, if a town has a spring as its water source, it is going to do everything that it can to protect that water source and protect its purity. It wants to guard the source. They're going to guard it to make sure that no pollution gets in to that spring, but they're also going to guard it in this sense, that if there is any bad stuff, any pollution there, they're going to take it out. A town guards its water source, its spring. Now, as that spring is guarded, our hearts need to be guarded. Our hearts need to be guarded from enemies who seek to pollute it, to make them dirty with sin. That's what Satan wants to do. He comes and attacks. He tries to make sin look good and the good look bad. And he's very good at doing that. Satan's very good at making the sin look bad and make it look like that walking in sin is the happy life. And Satan uses the world to attack us. And it's not just that we have these enemies coming from the outside seeking to pollute us, pollute our hearts, but we also have an enemy on the inside, our sinful nature. Our sinful nature, that's pollution within us that needs to be taken out. And that's the command. Guard your heart. Keep those enemies, keep the Satan and the world from influencing your heart. But also, get rid of the bad that's already there. Take it out. Get rid of those sins. Put them away. Those two things. Keep away the bad, remove any bad that's already there, and use every means available to serve the health of your heart. Use every means available to serve to the health of your heart as a child of God. You want a strong, spiritually strong heart. Now, we're going to look later more specifically at how we guard our hearts. We'll look more specifically at that. But right now, let's understand that guarding our hearts is of great importance. The text teaches that guarding your heart is of great importance. Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That word diligence there, it really is the same word in the original language as keep or guard. The text could be translated this way: keep thy heart with all keeping, or guard thy heart with all guarding. And the idea of that is this: above all guarding, guard your heart. Above all keeping, keep your heart. Therefore, we understand it's very important for a town that has a spring of water to guard that spring. But it's not as important as guarding your heart. We watch our weight. We guard our cars, our homes, our children. It's important. But of ultimate importance is guarding the heart. Guard it. Keep sin and Satan away. Keep them from making your heart bad and unhealthy. Guard your heart with all diligence. Now, why? Why is it so important that we guard our hearts? Well, it's important that we guard our hearts because it is in that way that we glorify God. And also, it is in that way that we experience fellowship with God. Let's look at those two things. It is so important that we guard our hearts because it is in that way that we glorify our God. Our God. Remember that this here in this text is instruction to a covenant son. A covenant son knows God. He knows God as the covenant God, the God who is his friend, who loves him. He knows God as the one who sent the Savior, Savior Jesus Christ. He knows God as that loving, gracious God. And thus, he not only must give God glory in his life, but he wants to. He knows who God is to him, so he wants to glorify God. And isn't it that way for us too? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you see all that he has done for you? Do you see all that our God has done for us? Believe in him tonight. And believing in him, we certainly must give him glory, and we also want to. Now, we will not be able to glorify him without guarding our hearts. That won't happen. If we do not guard our hearts, we will fall into terrible sin, and that does not glorify God. You think of the spring of water again. If that spring of water is not guarded, it's very likely that over time that spring of water is going to become polluted. Well, it's not just very likely, but it is a sure thing that if our hearts are not guarded, they're going to become more and more polluted. More and more sin is going to flow forth, and that is not glorifying to our God, the God who has given to us everything. So guard your heart. Guard your heart from sin and Satan so that your heart is healthy, it's strong. And then what flows forth from your heart is God-glorifying thoughts, desires, and actions. Guard your heart to glorify your gracious God. That's the first reason why it's so important to guard our hearts. It's in that way that we glorify God. But also this, it's so important that we guard our hearts because it is in that way that we experience fellowship with God. Those who do not guard their hearts, they do not enjoy fellowship with God. Think about it. If one is not guarding his heart, more and more sin is going to have an influence there, and so sin's going to pour forth. He's going to walk in sin. Now, one who walks in sin, one who lives like the devil, does not experience fellowship with God. He doesn't. Just think of David in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. David went on for over a year without confessing his sin against the seventh commandment. And when he was going on in that sin, continuing in it, not guarding his heart, well, he was not experiencing fellowship with God. He says, "My bones waxed old all the day long. I was miserable." Those who do guard their hearts and walk in God's ways, they, in that way, they experience fellowship with God. And that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. Now, that does not mean that one earns fellowship with God by guarding his heart and by walking in God's ways. That's not true. Of course not. One does not earn fellowship with God. Christ earned that on the cross for us. It is only based on Christ's work that we experience fellowship with God. And it is only by faith that we experience fellowship with God. But this is also true. We experience fellowship with God in the way of obedience to Him. How God works is like this. God gives us faith. And having faith, we know God. We know Jesus Christ. And knowing Him and who He is to us, we guard our hearts in thankfulness. And we walk in God's ways in thankfulness. And it's in that way that we enjoy fellowship with God. And fellowship with God, as you know, and as you've experienced, is a wonderful thing. There's nothing better than knowing His care, knowing His love. That's the importance of walking. That's the importance of guarding the heart. It's in that way that we glorify Him. It's in that way that we experience fellowship with Him. But now we get back to this. How do we guard our hearts? Let's be very specific in this last part of this second point. How do we actually guard our hearts? Well, first, keep away from all things that are bad influences on the heart. Keep away. That's how you guard your heart. You keep away from all things that are bad influences upon it. Keep away from the bad influences like wicked entertainment. The wicked television shows, wicked dramas on there, wicked internet sites, wicked music. Keep away from it. Consider for a moment just what you hear in that music of the world and what you hear when you watch those television dramas. Consider that for a moment. Consider what that does, what effect that has on your heart. On these shows, and in much of this worldly music, they're swearing. There's taking of God's name in vain. There are sexual jokes. And much worse. Terrible things. If you are listening to those things, what does that do to your heart? Does that bring your heart to become focused on God? Of course not. It leads your heart to become focused on sin, on filth, on fornication. And it's not just those songs and those shows that have explicitly bad language in them and taking God's name in vain. It's not just that. You can think of any drama or any music that's worldly. The focus of that music and show is on mankind and the greatness of man, glorifying Him. So if you are watching those things and hearing about that all the time, what do you think that does to your heart? That does not lead to a heart that's focused on God. It leads to a heart that's focused on man. That's just the things you hear. Consider the bad things that you see on these shows, on internet sites, certain ones, and even in video games. You think of the pornography that's so readily and easily accessed today. Even on a smartphone. You think of that. You think of the effect that has on the heart. That does not lead to a heart that's focused on God, very obviously. And think of the violence that's so prevalent in the video games today. If we're playing those games, the killing games, does that lead your heart to become focused on serving God and keeping His sixth commandment? Of course not. Letting those things influence your heart hurts your heart, and it leads us into sin. It leads away from a God-glorifying life. See that tonight. By the grace of God, see that, understand that, and keep away from all wicked forms of entertainment. Stay away from it. And young people, every time this week, and in all of us too, every time you get in the car this week, every time you have that remote in your hand and you're going to watch TV, you think about Jesus Christ. You think of what He has done for you. And then think about His command to guard the heart. And by the grace of God, do that. Do that. We want to have clean hearts, from which flow forth God-glorifying actions. So keep away from those wicked forms of entertainment. And parents, you really have a calling in that too. Your calling is to help your children guard their hearts. It's your duty. It is your duty to know what they are doing on their phones. It is your duty to know what internet sites they are going to. It is your duty to know what they are watching on TV. These children that we have been, they are gifts of God. Gifts of God that He's given to us. Protect them. Help them guard their heart. That's the first specific thing. Keep away from the bad influences like wicked entertainment, but also keep away from bad friends. There may be those at school or at college who want you to watch the movies filled with violence or these sexual sins. There may be those who want you to go to the bar with them all the time and drink. There may be those who, in general, just have a bad attitude towards church and are always speaking bad about the minister and about the elders or the deacons. What happens when you keep their company? What happens? Well, it certainly does not lead to a heart that's focused on God. It does not help the health of your heart. Our calling is to humbly show those acquaintances their sins. Show them that they are not following Christ. Call them to turn. And if they will not, they must be put away. You cannot continue to be with them. That will only hurt your heart and lead to a sinful life. That can be very hard. Very, very hard. There are some of us maybe have a difficult time even making friends, and then you have to say that to that friend that you have, maybe that friend that you've been with for a long time, have been through thick and thin with that friend, while you are required to go to him and show him the error in his ways. Friends have a great influence on the heart. Let's keep away from those bad influences, but now this positively. Turn to the good influences. That's how we guard our hearts. We keep away from the bad influences, but we also turn to the good ones. We turn to the Word. That is the number one good influence on the heart. The Word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why Solomon emphasizes it throughout the text. In verse 20, he says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." When Solomon speaks of his words here, understand that he was speaking the word of God to his son. He was inspired by the Spirit to speak these words. So he's really telling his son here, attend to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. And he did that because he knew what a positive influence the word has upon his son's heart. And it does. Reading the word, hearing the word, your heart is brought to focus on God and His greatness. You see His even tonight and this morning, through the hearing of the Word, you see His great grace to you as a covenant-keeping God. You see His great grace to you in His faithfulness and continuing to bring you to seek Him. That's what you see when you're in the Word. And that's then what you think about when you're walking up and down the stairs, when you're on the lawnmower, when you're driving your car from school to home, you're thinking about who your God is because you're in the Word by God's grace. And then when that temptation comes to lie, when that temptation comes to lie to you who are in the Word, you're not focused on self, you're focused on God. So you put that temptation away. You say, no, I will not lie. Being in the Word, your heart's focused on God. So you put down temptations. Be in the Word. The Word also sheds light upon those sins that we often harbor within us. The Word helps us to put those sins away, strengthens us to do it. That's what happened in David's life. Nathan the prophet came to David when he was walking in those sins of adultery. But the Word, when Nathan brought the Word, that Word, by the power of the Spirit, worked powerfully in David so that he saw his sins. He saw those sins that he was holding within himself. And he put it out. He put out that dirtiness. That's the same way God works in our lives too. Our sins may have been exposed tonight or this morning or when we were reading the Word this afternoon. Our sins are exposed through the Word of God all the time. God works powerfully through His Word. It moves our hearts to put out those sins. So turn to the Word. Turn to it. Come here regularly. Read the Word regularly. Young people, have devotions. It's hard. There's a lot going on. Have devotions. Go to catechism and be prepared for catechism. It's about to start this week, or maybe did last week. Be ready for it. Prepare. Turn to good influences like the Word. This serves to influence our hearts for good, so that what flows forth is God-glorifying activity. That's the first good influence, the Word, but there's more. Turn to influences like godly music. Music, too, has such an effect upon the heart. That has to be emphasized tonight. We remember the words to songs almost better than anything else. You remember the words to songs because the songs just flow the words just flow together in those songs. You can remember the words to a song, and 30 years later, by God's grace, godly music will serve as a good influence upon your heart, leading your heart to become more and more focused on Christ. And then, think again, when that temptation comes to be selfish, or when that temptation comes to go to that party, well, your heart's not focused on self, it's focused on God. You've been listening to godly music, and by the grace of God, He's worked powerfully through it. And you say no to that temptation. Godly music, it's a great influence on the heart. And last, turn to the good influence of godly friends. That's how we guard our hearts. We turn to the good influence of godly friends. Friends, again, have a huge influence on your heart. You think of what happens when you are with godly friends. You talk about the Word. You talk about the things of the church. You do good, clean activities. All of that only serves to strengthen the heart. So then what flows forth is God-honoring activity. Do those things. Go forward this week by the power of the Spirit and do those things. Now we want healthy hearts from which flows God-honoring activity. That's why we have to guard them. Now how is that possible? How is that possible? Not in our own strength. Not in our own strength. It's only in Christ. It's only in Christ who gives us wisdom. That's how we can guard our hearts. We need wisdom if we are going to guard our hearts. That's why the Solomon throughout this chapter, but also throughout all of Proverbs, emphasizes wisdom. The Holy Spirit is emphasizing wisdom. Verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing or the chief thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We need that if you're going to guard our hearts. Wisdom is the ability to apply what you know and have heard to your life to the glory of God. Wisdom is the ability to apply the truth that you know to your life so that you use it to the glory of God. Now, if we're going to guard our hearts, we need wisdom. We understand what it means to guard our hearts. We certainly do. We know that we are to turn from those bad influences and turn to the good ones. Now, if we're going to go forward and actually do that this week, we need wisdom. We need to be able to apply this truth that we have heard to our lives and use it all to give glory to God, to serve Him. We need wisdom. Who gives it? Who gives this wisdom? Our Savior Jesus Christ. Christ is the giver of wisdom. He was perfectly wise Himself. He had the ability and he perfectly applied all that He knew in the proper way to the glory of God. And now, Jesus Christ, as the risen, resurrected Lord, He now gives that wisdom to us. He works wisdom in our hearts. Luke 21, verse 15, shows that Christ is the giver of wisdom. He says in that verse, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. He's earned that wisdom for us on the cross. And now as our Almighty Lord, as our Sovereign Lord, He works in you and me. We're very weak. We can never have that wisdom of ourselves. He works in us to be wise, to apply all that we know and use it to the glory of God. May Christ do that this week. By the power of Christ, may we go forward guarding our hearts this week. And in every situation, turn away from the bad influences and turn to the good influences so that our heart is strengthened. And from it flows God-praising activity. Let's pray to Him. Let's pray to our God this week and ask for wisdom so that we might apply this truth to our lives. Young people, tonight, before you go to bed, pray for wisdom that you might go forward guarding your hearts. Every one of us tonight, pray for it. Pray that we might have the strength of Christ. Go forward and do this. To praise our God, the God who has given to us everything. Amen. Let's pray.